Excellent. Excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are extremely excited about this morning. As a matter of fact, this is one of my most favorite weeks of the year here at Hoboken Grace, although I'm always a little bit offended. I don't know how to take it when the first few rows are packed on this Sunday and then not so much the rest of the time, but I won't take it personally. But today, throughout the morning, we have a lot to celebrate because we have all sorts of families that are coming today to be able to dedicate their little ones to the one that we serve, to the one who loves us most, to the one that we call Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to bring them before him. And there are all sorts of commitments that they're going to be making as they do that. But before I walk you through those, I want to talk about one of them in particular. Because I think there's one of them that is incredibly important, not just for the parents who will be on stage today, but for every single one of us. And that one is this. It's the commitment to raise these little ones as his. It's the commitment to embrace the fact that these little ones are not ours, but they're his, and we have a responsibility in their life, and we have a short amount of time with them, but we understand that, no, they were created not to be a part of our story, but to be part of his story. You see, one of the most powerful things that God teaches us is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you've been, or what you've done, you were created on purpose for a purpose. You're not an accident. Not one of you in this room is an accident, and don't you think for one second that you are, because God has communicated over and over and over again to us that no, you were created to be part of his story in a really unique and wonderful way. But unfortunately, from the beginning, rather than valuing that story, we've decided to live for our own stories. God says, I created for you to be a part of my story, and I created you on purpose for a purpose, but rather than us embracing that, we have constantly and consistently decided, rather than living for his story, to live for our own stories, to live for smaller stories. All of us live for a story in some way, shape, or form. For some of us, we live for the story of our family, and what our family is going to be, and what our family is going to look like, and how our family is going to look. For others of us, it's not so much about family, it's about career, and we live for the story of our career and what we're going to accomplish, and we live for the story of whatever it is that we're building right now. We live for the image that we're going to create that people will see. God says you were created for this larger story, but instead we've settled for smaller ones. We've decided no. I want to live for my own story. We don't see our stories as smaller or insignificant. As a matter of fact, we want for them to be significant. We want for them to matter. We want to build big things, and we want to be successful, and we want to accomplish great things, and we want to have this incredible family. And for every single one of us, it's not that we sit down and say, well, listen, I want to live for a smaller story. It's just that we want for our story to be the story that's significant. But there are all sorts of problems with that. One of the greatest problems is that you have a very limited amount of time to accomplish that. And your story really only lasts a very short amount of time in the larger story. And believe me, I've seen how many donuts are consumed here on a Sunday morning. You don't have a lot of time. But there are other problems. Sometimes you're born into a story you didn't want to be part of. Sometimes Sometimes the story doesn't work out the way it's supposed to. Sometimes it looks like the story is great, and then all of a sudden you get that call. And someone who is supposed to be part of that story isn't. Well, they're not there anymore. And no matter how hard we try to control the story, we can't. Sometimes the story doesn't work out the way that it was supposed to. But the interesting thing is that what we're about to walk through today and this whole idea of dedication, it's actually birthed out of a story like that. It actually finds its roots in a story like that, because this idea of dedication, it began with a woman named Hannah. We don't know all of Hannah's story. As a matter of fact, we don't know a lot of Hannah's story, but there is one thing we know about Hannah's story. You see, Hannah couldn't have children. This was devastating for Hannah's story. As a matter of fact, when we see her story in the book of 1 Samuel, we see that it seems to have crushed her. She was devastated by the fact that she couldn't have a child. And at this time in history, this was incredibly important for women to be able to have children. The value of their story was all about their ability to be able to have a family. And when we see her story, we see her wrestling with God about this and wrestling with God about the fact that her story's not working out the way that it was supposed to. And it seems that for years she's been asking God to change her story. She's been asking God to, in some way, shape, or form, help her to accomplish the story that she thought she was supposed to live. But as we come to this passage, we see her in the midst of a conversation with God where that changes. Let me take you to this moment. It's found in the book of 1 Samuel. It says, "Once, after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance to the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow." This time her prayer, it changes. And listen to what she says. She says, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." For those of you who are worried, that's not part of the dedication today. "As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought that she had been drinking. 'Must you come here drunk?' he demanded. 'Throw away your wine.' 'Oh, no, sir,' she replied. 'I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. But don't think that I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow.' 'In that case,' Eli said, 'go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him.' 'Well, thank you, sir,' she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah had slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son." Spoiler alert, that's how kids happen. "She named him Samuel, for she said, 'I asked the Lord for him.'" As you look at the story, it seems that Hannah has been crying out to God for quite some time for him to give her a child. But in this moment, something changes. And in this moment, what you see is not Hannah manipulating God. Sometimes people misunderstand what's happening here. You have to understand what Hannah just did. She just said, "God, I want to live for your story, and God, if you do this, I'm going to use it for your story and not for mine." You understand that the commitment that she made meant that she wouldn't grow up as the mother of this little one. She wouldn't know what it is to really be his mom. because he would grow up in the tabernacle. And in this moment, Hannah says, no, God, I want this for your story. I want to live for your story, not mine. As the story continues, Hannah keeps her promise. And that little boy grows up to be one of the most powerful prophets in the history of the nation of Israel. And as you look at this story, you see a principle that God has been teaching us over and over and over again throughout the history of our story. And that is this: you can continue to live for your small story, but when you live for your small story, you'll never actually find the significance for which you were created. It's when you embrace his story and when you begin to live for it, that you find that significance. Whether it be in a big thing or a small thing, her son becomes a phenomenal prophet, and the truth is that his place in God's story is amazing, but make no mistake about it, it all began with her embracing God's story. It began with something that very little people would have even noticed. But in making that decision and embracing God's story, all of a sudden, her story became phenomenally significant. And God has stepped into every single one of our lives and said, I've created you on purpose for a purpose, for you to be a part of my story. But you have to stop living for the small stories. When we embrace God's story, there's so much that changes in our lives. When you live for the small story, you live your life angry. For many of you, you've lived your entire life angry because other people keep screwing up your story. You have this idea of the family that you're going to have and how marvelous it's going to be in this story. And then you have kids. And over and over and over and over and over again, they screw it up. This morning, I ran into a couple that I had been a part of their wedding years ago. And I hadn't seen them for a couple of months. You know why? Because they had kids. And they looked like they were on the brink of death. I'm pretty sure they hadn't slept for at least 8 weeks. She looked like she was going to cry at any moment. But it's true, when you live for a small story, you're constantly the victim of circumstances, and you're constantly angry. You're angry at your kids because they're messing up the story of your family. You're angry with the people that you work with because they're messing up your career. You're angry with God because he's not working out the story the way that you wanted it to work out. But you see, and this is really important, you see, God never promised that he was going to make sure that your story worked out. But he did promise that your place in his story would always work out. As God is speaking through Paul, this individual who took Jesus to so much of the known world at the time, he says this in Romans chapter 8. He says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Listen to me, listen. God hasn't promised that he'll use everything in your life for your story to work out. the way that you thought it would work out, or the small stories that we live for. But God has made a promise to every single one of us, and that is this: if you embrace my story and the place that I have for it, not only will you be able to find the significance for which you were created, but I'm going to use everything in your life, whether it's meant for good or whether it's for evil. I'm going to use every bit of it for you to be able to live the story that I intended for you to live, for you to be able to become who it is that I created for you to be. You see, when you live for a small story, you're a victim of circumstance, and it's constantly being screwed up, and you're constantly trying to control it and constantly trying to make it right. When you live for his story, your interaction with circumstance, it changes completely, because you see, if I lose my job, it messes up my story over here. But if I lose my job and I'm living for God's story, well, then that might actually be a crucial piece in who he's creating me to be and the life that he's created me to live. It changes the way that I experience every circumstance in life. And I no longer have to be angry at everyone around me because they're messing up my story, because I know that no. No matter what happens, God can work through this and in this, and he's going to. He has promised me that he will. It changes the way that we engage the circumstances. It changes the way that we even think about our ability to live a life that's significant. You see, if we're created to live for these small stories, and this hit me this week in a way that never has before, if we're created to live for these small stories, and this is all there is, the stories that we can tell and what we can create and what we can be, then you see, my son has an incredible disadvantage. For those of you who don't know, my second son, he's 5 years old. He has Down syndrome. If life is about the stories that we can tell and what we can create or what we can accomplish, even if life is about the story of the family that we have, it's highly unlikely that my son will ever get married. It's very highly unlikely that he'll ever have kids. If life is about those stories, well then my son's at a massive disadvantage, isn't he? But if life is about how we're part of his story, well, you see, when I come to the scriptures, I see God using people in weakness all the time. And I see people with struggles being used in significant ways over and over again. Some of you have given up on the idea that your story can be significant because you're not good at telling the little stories. Or the story you hoped to tell fell apart. You don't have to be strong to be significant in God's story, and you don't have to have it all together. And your family doesn't have to turn out right. You just have to be willing to live for his story instead of yours. And that's a choice. That's a choice that every single one of us make every day. Am I going to use my day to tell my story or his? Is this story about me? Or is it about him? As these parents come up here today and as they make these commitments, I want to invite you to make a commitment with them. Not just that we'll raise these little ones to be part of his story, but that we ourselves will live our lives to be part of his story. And in doing so, truly embrace the significance for which we were intended, the significance for which we were created, the significance for which we exist. Will you pray with me? Father, as these parents come today and as they make this commitment to raise these little ones, as part of and within your story, I pray for everyone here that we would make this commitment together. No. We'll no longer live for small stories. We'll no longer live our lives angry about how people are screwing up our story. But we will embrace the truth and the power and the beauty of the story that we were originally intended for. Your story. In Jesus' name, amen.